Hey y'all, this is Adia Victoria, and welcome to Call and Response. So this is the final episode in this special mid-season series, Live at Newport Folk Fest, and I wanted to use this opportunity to get some thoughts off my chest. This final episode, there is no guest. It's just me and my breath. I needed to decompress everything that's been on my mind, and this is going to come across as a spoken word poem, and it's just straight off the top of my head. There's no notes. It's just me, and let's go ahead and do this. So my invite to come to the Newport Folk Festival was a bit last minute. I knew that I wasn't in a place where I was ready to perform with my band quite yet, but when I received the invitation to bring the Call and Response podcast to Newport to interview some of my friends and fellow musicians, I knew that it was an opportunity that I could not miss out on. A few days ago, when I was still back home in Nashville, I was packing my bags, and I flashed back to the last time that I was at Newport in 2019, and I thought back to how chaotic that experience was. My band, we had to deadhead from Nashville up to Burlington, Vermont, to play a one-off show, which was about a 20-hour drive. We played the show. Right after, we jumped into our van, drove 4 hours, got to our hotel midpoint between Burlington and Newport, slept for about 2 hours, woke up, and then continued the rest of the drive to the festival. And I just remember arriving here feeling completely unprepared. I was frazzled. I felt rushed. I felt depleted. And that's an experience and a sensation that I think a lot of touring musicians feel. You just constantly feel that you're being pushed from one place to the next and constantly having to be on to network, make connections. And it's just, at the end of the day, not very enjoyable. So I was definitely feeling quite a bit of trepidation at the thought of traveling up to Newport this year. And it was the first time that I was going to be leaving the South since the pandemic began. And if you've listened to this podcast and you listen to my music, you know that the South for me is a place where I feel rooted. I feel myself. I feel a sense of security. So leaving that for the first time, it definitely caused some feelings of anxiety for me. A few weeks leading up to Newport, my friend Allison Russell had reached out to me about a set that she'd been asked by Jay Sweet, the director of Newport, to curate. She decided to name it Once in Future Sounds, and it was dedicated to the lineage of Black women from the past, the present, and also with an eye towards the future. When she asked me about it, she told me that it would be a collective of so many of my girlfriends in Nashville who I'd found sisterhood with throughout the course of the pandemic. Musicians like Margot Price, Brandi Carlile, Kishona, Caroline Randall Williams, a few of those who have been on the podcast before. And I thought about the sense of grace and the sense of acceptance and warmth that had permeated so many of my exchanges with these women over the course of the pandemic. And I thought to myself, why don't I take that sense of grace with me to Newport? Just pack it in my bag with all of my fashions and my looks and let that lead me into this foreign situation. When I arrived at the festival grounds for the first time to set up for the podcast, the thing that struck me most was the sense of quiet across the entire festival ground. Even with musicians playing at both of the tents this year and, you know, the artists running around and their teams and whatnot, there was this sense of calm. There was this sense of awareness that this was the first time in a long time that our bodies would be back in community with one another. There was almost this feeling of awe that was hovering around all of us across the festival, from the performers to the audience that was there to listen. And immediately, I felt myself growing more and more calm. And it was a portal to feeling more open, to feeling more grounded, to feeling more accepted by the people around me. We understood that there was something more important about this moment than hustling, than grinding, than making contacts and connections and seeking fame. And it was just a sense of humanity that I felt had been missing from the music community before the pandemic. So this morning, I woke up to the news that Simone Biles had decided to withdraw from the Olympics in Tokyo. She decided that her mental health was not where it needed to be. And immediately, like clockwork, her decision to withdraw was met by so many people on the internet deriding her, saying that, you know, she was behaving unprofessionally, that she was weak, questioning the strength of this woman who is literally performing at a level that is so advanced that the judges don't even know how to judge her. And it made me think about the levels of expectation, especially of Black women, that people are happy to heap all of this pressure on Black women's backs as long as we continue to execute, as long as we continue to perform. But the minute that we decide to place ourselves first, to look out after our own interests, despite what everyone else needs from us, we are immediately met with derision and persecution, and we are labeled as ingrates, we are labeled as unprofessional, we are labeled as angry Black women. And I thought about the ways that this tied into the experience of not just myself, but so many of my peers in the music business. I think back to so many nights that I had on tour in the before times when I would weep in my dressing room because I was exhausted, because my mind and my body and my spirit had been pushed past the point where they could perform, where I was asked to push past the point where I knew it was unhealthy for me because everyone else was counting on me, because so much money had been invested in me and people's expectations needed to be met, and my art became something that would meet a corporation's return on interest. And I remember feeling soul dead. And so I thought about that this morning on the last day of Newport, and I thought about these performers who were putting their bodies and their minds on the line to perform for the first time since this pandemic swept through the world. And what we realized was this world was not created to look out after us, that we became pawns and so many corporations' bottom line to deliver, and what we even got into the business for, what we even picked up a pen or a guitar or a banjo or an oboe or the drums or whatever our instrument was, it just all became diluted over the course of our careers when we were asked to think about competing with our peers and putting money before what art even meant to us. It no longer became a way for us to sustain ourselves and nourish ourselves. But the spirit of women that I found here at Newport, from Allison Russell when she curated her set Once and Future Sounds, I found that she understood exactly what my spirit needed. And every single sister girl that stood on that stage, from Amethyst Kaya to Sunny War to Yasmin Williams to Kishona to Lursa Maestro to Solis to Yola to Cam Franklin, our spirit was at the forefront of her mind when she curated that set of Black women. She understood that Chaka Khan may be a little bit nervous to be at the forefront of a stage and asked to share her voice. She knew that we were all bodying so many traumas that so many of us had not found the way to speak and may be ugly when you present it to the world, when the world expects its performers and especially its Black women performers to be polished and grateful and eternally ready to shuck and jive and dance and deliver and shake our booties and look like something that will titillize them and satiate them. And she knew that we were humans first and foremost, that we were spirits, that we were body, and that we were flesh, in the way that Toni Morrison said that our flesh was holy. Yes. And she honored this. And so moving around Newport for the past few days has allowed me to see what could be possible in the future when it comes to our artists. What can be possible in the future when it comes to us looking at each other? What can be possible when we shun sanctity, when we shun scarcity mindset, when we say this table is big enough for all of us? No, fuck that. Let's build a new table where everyone has a full plate, because we understand that when we create, we are able to feed, we are able to be like Jesus and break those loaves again and again and again and again, if we just begin to believe that we have enough to share, if we believe that our talent is holy and sacred, and fuck what the label man says, and fuck what capitalism says, and fuck when they say that when you rise, someone else must sink. I don't think that that needs to be the way that we envision our future. No, I see an open table. I see an expanding table. I see more and more sisters gathering around this table. And I think we need to reexamine what we mean when we say success. There's no reason why someone needs to be on tour for 300 days out of the year in order to provide for their family, in order to provide for themselves. So this experience at Newport, these conversations that I've been having on this podcast, they haven't felt like interviews. It felt like the opportunity for the first time to put skin to skin, to reach out and brush away tears and hold the people that are dearest to us, nearest to us, and say, girl, how is your heart? So let this be a start, a new beginning, a new way for us to hold one another and to allow us for the first time to be the ends, not the means to the ends. The system has disallowed us from taking care of one another. It has said that if we come together, then something is lost. But I'm starting to realize, being here around my people for the first time again, that if I can't take care of them, that is the true loss. That's what the blues is. The blues is being able to look out and see one another in your audience, to see one another in the performer next to you. It is, the blues for me is a safe space. It is a sacred space. It is a coven of sisters who are able to stand apart and look at the world and question it and understand that just because we've been told that this is the way things have been done, that does not mean that this is the way that things must continue to be done. And I don't know what the future is going to bring. But I want to allow myself to remain vulnerable enough to embrace that unknown, embrace that uncertainty. To say that nobody knows what happens. This is our first time doing this. This is everybody's first time at life. And what would it be like if we could embrace that? What would it be like if we could embrace this weirdness that we have encountered in ourselves during the course of this pandemic? Bottle that up and keep it as we move forward. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. And I don't want to forgive the system that would ask us to forget. And every show I end with the advice to keep your heart and your ears wide open. This time at Newport for me, I had to take that advice. And it's not just a sign-off line for me. That's a way of life. You enter into these situations, into the unknown, embracing that, and ready to hold space for your kinfolk. That's what keep your heart and your ears wide open means. So maybe this time at Newport for me was a lesson that I needed to know that it's okay to go out into this world and feel vulnerable and feel like you are standing out for anybody to see and spot. And maybe this is what I needed to flush me out from my hiding hole down south. Yeah, I needed that. So this isn't the end. This is me taking a breath, taking space for rest. And I want to let y'all know that we're going to be coming back with a second season of Call and Response September 9th with new stories to tell, new perspectives, and I cannot wait to share all that I've seen with y'all. It's going to be something special. I'd like to close today's show with a special thank you to my partners at Sonos for giving me the opportunity and the recording gear to come out here and record these episodes for y'all. I want to say thank you to Jay Sweet for giving me the opportunity and the cute little stage to welcome my guests. And yes, I want to thank all of my guests for being open enough to join me in conversation. I want to thank all of you for listening into my show, for embracing my blues. You have truly helped me navigate one of the toughest, most raw periods of my life. Thank you. I'd love to stay connected with each and every one of you as we continue to journey down this long and absurd road. You can find me on all social media platforms at Adia Victoria. I am all ears. This has been Call and Response live at Newport Folk Fest. Call and Response is produced by Work by Work, Scott Newman, Jimmy Rose Brown, Babette Thomas, Emily Shaw, and me, Adia Victoria. The show is recorded by Tom Tierney and mixed by Sam Bear, and extra gratitude to Joe Dawson and Saida Blount and Sonos. So until next time, y'all, keep your heart and your ears wide open. Y'all be good.